This is Focus West, Michigan for Friday, December 12, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. John Ball Zoo's popular penguins got poked and prodded on Thursday in their annual medical checkup, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Cute chaos might be the best way to describe the scene inside the penguin exhibit Thursday, as John Ball Zoo's Magellanic penguins each had a visit with the veterinarian.
We have some that are very used to it and enjoy it. I wouldn't say enjoy, but maybe are used to being around people and don't mind it. We have some that kind of protest.
Despite some ruffled feathers, yes, penguins have feathers, curator Dan Hemmen says the goal is to make sure the animals are healthy and to catch any medical problems early.
Our vet looks at their joints and make sure they're not having any arthritis issues. He'll also use the opportunity to look at their eyes, look in their mouths, making sure they're healthy, and just get a good hands-on feel of them to make sure that they are the correct weight.
The penguins get beak and nail trims and have blood drawn to check kidney and liver health.
They also get radiographs so we can look at their insides. Unfortunately, people like throwing things in the penguin pool sometimes, like coins, and this allows us to see if they have anything that we need to be aware of that we need to take care of.
John Ball Zoo is closed for the winter, but is staffed year-round to care for the more than 2,000 animals that call it home. I'm Dee Morrison.
A vending machine that allows users to give back to their community makes its return to Grand Rapids. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more on Light the World's Giving Machine.
We have 5 nonprofits that are local that are in the machine, and we have 2 global nonprofits that are also have items in the machine that people can come up and choose which exact thing they want to donate to.
Colleen Lewis is a volunteer overseeing the giving machine at Grand Rapids Woodland Mall. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints brought it back for a second year.
It's just a great way to see good things going into good people's hands and being able to make sure your dollars go right where you want them to go.
The kiosks allow you to make a donation supporting designated nonprofits, items, or services. It supports charities like Mel Trotter Ministries or Pause with a Cause. Once purchased, 100% of the donation goes to the organization. Light the World pays for the machines. It began with just one machine in 2017. Now there are machines in 134 cities across the country, having collected $44 million globally since its launch.
It took a while for people to understand what it is, but once people come, their heart feels it, and you just experience that giving, that opportunity to give service, because you couldn't figure out how to do it, but now it's just like really available.
The giving machines will be at Woodland Mall through January 4th. I'm David Limbaugh.
A state report says West Michigan's busiest highway needs critical improvements, but there's no money to pay for it. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
US 131 is the busiest stretch of roadway in Michigan outside of Detroit. More than 140,000 vehicles travel it daily. A Michigan Department of Transportation report determined the section between Cherry Street and 28th Street requires updating. It was designed in the 1940s and built in the 1950s, with the cities of Grand Rapids and Wyoming growing up around the corridor.
The growth has been so substantial that we've basically outgrown this stretch of 131, and it needs to be rebuilt, modernized, and changed.
MDOT spokesperson John Richard says the region's annual budget is $100 million. This one project will cost much more.
It's going to be $600 to $700 million, so it is crazy expensive, and we're not sure where that funding is going to come from. So we're looking for untraditional funding.
Richard mentions one project on 131 in Wayland.
The Gun Lake Tribe came to us and said, hey, we would like you to replace this bridge. And then we said, well, this bridge is structurally sound. It's not going to be replaced. And they said, well, what if we pay for it? And of course we said, well, what kind of interchange would you like?
Richard admits it's an unlikely scenario to happen again.
5 years ago, we were talking $500 million. Then it was 600. Now I'm hearing $700 million. So the longer we wait, the more expensive it's going to be.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Democrats in the Michigan legislature are figuring out their next move following a sudden unilateral action by the House Republican majority to cut $645 million out of the state budget. Rick Pluta has more.
The House GOP cuts were made under an obscure budget maneuver that doesn't require concurrence from the Senate or Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The funding includes prenatal and newborn programs, museums and symphonies, and Flint water crisis recovery. House Speaker Matt Hall says the spending includes a lot of fraud and waste, but some of the money could be restored following a review. House Minority Leader Ranjiv Puri says Democrats are working on a response.
All options are on the table. Look, I think the problem with the dynamics been set up is that this is an unprecedented maneuver, and so we're all trying to figure out what exactly is happening.
Puri said legal action is a possibility. I'm Rick Pluta.
A legal fight over what Michigan schools should have to give up in order to get state grants for school safety went before a state court of claims judge on Thursday. Colin Jackson has more.
The state budget has a catch that if a mass casualty event occurs, schools that take the safety funding must agree to an investigation and give up rights to hold back any information. Attorney Scott Eldridge says that's unconstitutionally vague. He says the budget doesn't lay out how far that waiver of rights goes or for how long.
It doesn't say related to a mass casualty event. It just simply says you're waiving any privilege in the event of a mass casualty event.
But Assistant Attorney General Adam DeBeer says it's clear the waiver applies to investigations.
Just because the statute or the waiver is unpopular amongst the schools to which it will be enforced, it doesn't mean it's unconstitutional.
Over 30 school districts are suing in the matter. I'm Colin Jackson in Detroit.
More than 260 physicians across the state signed a letter in support of a new bill package. It would help protect vaccine access in the state and give parents information about vaccine rates in schools. Dr. Heidi Jenny is one of the physicians who signed the letter.
Because they would require insurance companies in Michigan to cover vaccines. And because they'd authorize the state to set our own vaccine recommendations based on the recommendations of trusted physician-led organizations. These bills couldn't come at a more critical time.
She says that's because the U.S. is changing some federal vaccine policies. The doctors in the group say they worry about a resurgence of hepatitis B and measles in the next year. These diseases are preventable by vaccines. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Ella McKay is in theaters, a James Brooks production starring Jamie Lee Curtis and Emma Mackey. Sentimental Value is in limited release, a foreign language film that is one of the most critically acclaimed releases of the year. And Dust Bunny is a fantastical horror action thriller that is also a favorite of the critics. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C break it all down.
Hi. I'm the narrator. I'm here to provide facts about Ella McKay. I've worked for her ever since she finished law school, so I'm not exactly neutral. I'm nuts about her. This is how it started.
Aunt Helen, I have a ridiculously serious problem, and you're the only one I can tell.
I'm about to add to your problems, Ella. Your father's here.
Why?
We haven't seen each other. How long? You don't know either?
Eddie, you promised not to be yourself.
I'm a different person now. I met an incredible woman.
Oh. The big movie for the weekend, I'm assuming, Zach, is Ella McKay, directed by James Brooks with Jamie Lee Curtis and Emma Mackey. Is that correct? Is this the big one?
That, I mean, that is as big as we're going to get, I think, this weekend. You know, you still got Five Nights at Freddy's 2 from last week holding on. But yeah, no, Ella McKay coming from essentially Searchlight Pictures here. Emma Mackey stars as sort of it's in sort of this unknown state, you know, sort of like a fictional state, and she has a mentor who steps down from her governor position, and then Ella finds her way sort of like elected as governor of this fictitious state. And so in the midst of all of that, she's also just kind of like dealing with, as we all do, just like the regular family drama here and there. And so it's sort of this like, you know, drama comedy around not only sort of political climates, but also like, you know, family drama. So we'll see. There currently, you know, critics don't really love this movie, but I will say that I feel like... you know, to get on my soapbox for a minute, it would be the fact that, like, since the 20th century Disney merger, it's just that, like, I don't feel like Disney has the capacity to be marketing this movie well. You know, to go further more, you know, we can talk about this later, but, you know, the Netflix Warner Bros. Merger that's being talked about not being, you know, fully moving forward with yet, but it's like, that's just, again, another layer to, you know, just this movie alone, but also like the impact that that has on theatrical distribution. So it's interesting to see. But yeah, this movie, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It seems like it's going to be super fun. But yeah, great time.
Also, a film that is in a lot of people's top 10 lists of one of the best movies of the year is a foreign language film called Sentimental Value, with the great Stellan Skarsgård in it, playing a father who has to reconcile with his estranged daughters. And I know that you had an opportunity to see this.
Yeah. And it's coming from, Joachim Trier, who did The Worst Person in the World, who won Best International Feature in 2022 and Best Original Screenplay. And same actress, too, coming alongside him in this. And, speaking of, like, family drama, you know, from Ella McKay, like, this is also that. They are two daughters who, you know, essentially grew up with their mother after their father left. And after she passes away, the two sisters are sort of left to kind of pick up the pieces. But then, you know, here comes their father, who he's a director, and he's trying to think he's got another film he wants to make. His oldest daughter, Nora, is an actress, and she does theater, you know, stage production stuff, but he wants her to be the lead. And so it's sort of this, you know, I don't know, your sort of friction between the two of them is, you know, he hasn't been around, but is trying to pretend like he has been, and just sort of like, how do you connect with the family members with you? And it's super incredible. I wouldn't be surprised if this gets another Oscar next year or two. So,
also a film that I've been hearing a lot of buzz about. It's directed by Brian Fuller, called Dust Bunny, which is kind of a horror action film. And I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, this looks super fun. Mads Mikkelsen, Sigourney Weaver. And, you know, so essentially it's this this young girl, Aurora, who believes that there are some real life monsters, and that her family has been either kidnapped or, she believes that a monster ate her entire family. And so she hires this bounty hunter, who's played by Mads Mikkelsen, to essentially seek out said monster. So it's sort of this horror fantasy, if you will, but it looks like a super fun ride.
And also probably an action film, too, given that he's an assassin.
Yeah, 100%. It's like John Wick, but, like Monster Hunter, if you will.
And I've heard that the young lady, Sophie Sloan, who plays the young girl, that she is really good in her role. She's also a UK actor, and she's here, but she's playing a U.S. citizen, so she's got the accent down, so that shows her abilities. Also, Silent Night, Deadly Night opening up, is this a reissue?
This is a remake.
Oh, a remake,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, of a cult classic, and Santa is Here to Slay, my friend. This is playing, you got some Eve shows. You know what's better than the holiday season than someone dressed up as Santa going around and with an axe? And that's basically this movie. So if you want a good time there, you've got that. And then I'll also mention The Shining is celebrating its 45th anniversary and will be on IMAX this weekend. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, feel free. But super fun to see that thing on the big screen as well.
Wow. I saw that. I don't know if it was opening weekend, but it was within the first week or two that it was the Stanley Kubrick film came out. I read The Shining when it was first came out in paperback when I was a senior in high school. So this would be revisiting and a very interesting. I mean, Kubrick's take on any genre is always interesting. And his version of The Shining is kind of controversial amongst King fans, but Jack Nicholson at his finest. So we were going to talk about some of your favorite films of the year and some of mine as well. I don't know if in terms of like top 10 or top. Let's talk about three movies that you really loved this year.
Absolutely. In no particular order, I'll give you my top three. Well, we've already talked about Sentimental Value, so I'll leave that one off the table.
But you really love that.
That's on my top 10. One Battle After Another, which we can talk about a little bit more here. Sinners, for sure, top three. And then we'll throw out The Last Class, which was the Robert Reich documentary.
I did not see this.
Yeah, which was, I remember we talked about it, but essentially it's his, it's a documentary about his last semester teaching and just sort of the impact that he has made along his entire career, the presidents he served under, but then also just sort of like his class of wealth and poverty, and sort of, you know, again, his final semester, his reflection back on the work he's done, but also like how incredible the class actually is. And the best part was that, and I'm pretty sure the site's still alive, but like if you look up the last class, you can actually take the wealth and poverty class online, which is super fun after you've watched the documentary to actually then sit, because there's parts of the class in the documentary and you're sitting there and you're like, man, I'm trying to like intake all this information from him teaching on stage. How do I do this? And then the ability to actually go take the class is fantastic. So that's up there. But yeah, I mean, Sinners, Ryan Coogler, you know, director of Black Panther, Creed, this movie, I feel like, was incredible. Michael B. Jordan, just even the production design of this, the fact that they had to shoot essentially Michael B. Jordan twice because he plays twins in the movie. And it's also like, it's listed as a horror film, but it's not really a horror film.
You've mentioned this to me before, and I have not yet seen it. It's at the top of the list in terms of movies for me to see over the next several weeks, trying to catch up on some of these movies that are critically acclaimed. And so I'm really looking forward to that. You mentioned One Battle After Another, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. It's loosely based or inspired by a novel by Thomas Pynchon called Vineland, and with some great performances, and probably the one that's the most surprising is the young woman who plays the teenage daughter. Chase Infinity is the actress, and her parents, Regina Hall and Leonardo DiCaprio. And so,
yeah, I don't know how like all three of them deserve Oscar nominations.
And Sean Penn as well.
And Sean Penn. Yeah, so there you go. You've got best actor, actress, supporting actress, actor, and also probably best picture and best director nominations there for you.
And best original screenplay, or best adapted screenplay as well.
100%. I mean, you'll probably get a chance to see this one again, as well as Sinners, when, you know, all the Oscar noms come out earlier next year. And they start to bring the stuff back.
And this is a film that we really encourage you to see on the big screen. I saw it on a regular screen, and I was so taken by it. 3 days later, I went and saw it on the IMAX, because it's a VistaVision film. And yesterday on NPR, they had they talked about bringing back VistaVision for this film, and it's really a cinematic experience.
It's incredible. It's so good. And even the score, too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that got a nom. It just keeps you going with the piano all the way through.
And that would be on my list, along with Kelly Reichardt's film The Mastermind, which stars Josh O'Connor. He was also had a great year with films Rebuilding, The History of Sound, and also Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery. And then I loved Frankenstein. Guillermo del Toro's adaptation of Frankenstein was in my top films. And we'll talk about more of our favorites next week.
Can't wait. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, December 12, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.